Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, thank you for listening to us here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. We're going to have a teaching concerning you cannot cast out your flesh. We've been dealing with a lot of things on demons and what they're doing and the functions of them and talking about different spirits. Now we got to move in the carcass, which is the flesh. We're going to move into the carcass beginning Tuesday. This is our last night teaching because of deliverance sessions that me and Sister Dirty have on Fridays. Then we're going to bring and pick up on part two of you cannot cast out your flesh. You have to crucify it, mortify it. That will be Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Thursday, fasting, different types of fast, Daniel fast, John the Baptist fast, the fast based on Isaiah 58. We're going to break every fast down of the Bible for the believer. Before we get started, we're going to let Sister Marine bring us into prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you. We exalt your word tonight. We know that you are the living word. In you we live and move and have our being. Thank you for the word that's bringing us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Order our steps in your word tonight. May we be doers of your word and not hearers only. I pray that your word brings salvation, healing, and deliverance to every listener in need. In the name of your divine son, Jesus of Nazareth, we pray. Amen.
Listen to me here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. It's a blessing to be here. We are about to get ready to teach the word of God. And I want everyone to take notes. This is our telethon. We are celebrating 16 years, 16 years on the air here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. We're going to be talking about today, you cannot crucify your flesh. Your flesh can't be crucified. You can't cast out your flesh. When people are dealing with evil spirits, there's a doorway entrance that demons enter with a legal right. One of them is sin and a curse. A curse should not come without a cause, Proverbs 26:2. The other one is the flesh. That cannot be cast out. That has to be crucified. And we're going to look at that throughout today. And then Tuesday, we are going to be breaking down how to defeat the flesh in fasting. And we're going to give you the Ezra fast, the Samuel fast, the Elijah fast, the widow's fast, the St. Paul fast, the Daniel fast, the John the Baptist fast, the Easter fast, all in the Bible, straight out the Word of God. Different types of fasting. Fasting definitely crucifies the flesh. Paul says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but the Bible also says in Galatians 5:16-17 that the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit lusts against the flesh. They are contrary one to another. Now, the flesh opened up doors to demons, curses up doors to demons. You have to break curses. You have to cast out the demon. You have to crucify the flesh and be watchful for sin, because sin is sin, and that definitely opens the door to all demons. And it's constantly knocking at everybody's door. Genesis 4:6-7. Sin is at the door every day. And I can tell you throughout my life that this thing is hard to put under subjection. I don't care who you are. Don't come fooling me. I've been walking this life for about 30, 40 years, and I have some encounters. I've had some struggles. And I thank God for the most important thing that God has for all of us is his grace. We're going to finish next Thursday on the grace of God. We are having a telethon. We normally do a 30-day telethon, but we are in need. I want to show this to all of my listening audience, and I want to show you something. And I want all of my listening audience to please pay close attention to this, because this is a telethon. We have an attorney. This is our attorney. Here's my contract, and we need $1,000. And we are raising this money so that we can get a retainer fee for an attorney And it says, your request client and deposit with YouTube, $1,000. So I'm going to ask all of the listening audience to please help me as we raise this money and get us back on the air. The attorney was very nice to me, and he indicated to me not to worry. I can get you back on air. And I am believing that we will have this $1,000. And I thank Brother Tommy for his support. Brother T-Row, Brother Rodriguez Baker, Mr. and Mrs. Baker, we had a word of knowledge, went out with one of the ministerial staff. I gave him word of knowledge 2 months ago that he was going to have a son. They took the little thing and put it on his wife's stomach, and there it is, a boy. We need your support. It's amazing that so many people can watch us and suck up the information. Please give. We are in need. I really want to get back on YouTube because it hit two-thirds of my income, and it hit the people that we was getting out worldwide. Now, that money is going to be used for a retainer fee for an attorney. We're seeking $1,000 for a retainer fee. And I have another computer that I have to purchase. These computers really, they'll go out on you, and you have to have bag up. And I have one. Tommy helped me get this Elite book, but now we have to get another one. We have some bag up refurbishes, but I got to get one more new one. God's going to meet the need. God has always met the need here to this ministry. Brother Samuel Osley, thank you for your contributions. Please help us and support us at Live Dreams Internet Radio. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come in the name of Jesus. How God has anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Come, Holy Spirit, use me as your oracle. We take authority over Satan and every demonic spirit that will try to block this teaching from the hearer. We bind it in the name of Jesus, according to Matthew 18:18. We take authority over all principalities on the airways that will try to block income, block revelation. We send it back to the sender. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, the word of God says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He's talking about the spirit. Now, we do have to clean our flesh, and we have to clean our spirit. We have to clean both of them. And a lot of people don't realize that that is in the Bible, and that is a biblical truth that we have to do, and we're going to look at some scriptures in the Bible that solidifies that you have to clean your spirit and you have to clean your flesh. Let's first look at this scripture in 2 Corinthians. And we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. It says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us. Every time you see the us, that's telling you about the Godhead, Jesus, God the Father, and God the Son. This one word, us, is in Genesis 19:26. God says, let us. It says that the Holy Spirit, us, God the Father, God the Son, doesn't say that, but the revelation says us means the Godhead. Because in Genesis, it says, let us, Genesis 1:26, let us, God said, let us make man in our own image, Genesis 1:26, and cleanse ourselves from all filthiness. We have to do that. Christ has done it. He's done it on the cross. We have to accept the purging, the scourging. We have to accept the blood. He's done it. That's why he tells us that this is something that we have to do. Your pastor don't have to do this. He's required to work out his own salvation. He's not required to cleanse you, to bathe you. You got to do that. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. So we have to cleanse our spirit. The washing of the word, the spirit of error has to be cleansed, 1 John 4:6. But the flesh, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The flesh, receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. I speak not this to command you, for I said before that ye are in our hearts to die and live with you. We got to get like that. We do a lot of casting out, but people don't tell you that there's some things that you've got to do with your flesh. Now, I want you to go to Genesis chapter 35, verse 2. Genesis 35, verse 2. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. He didn't say cast out. The garments is the outer part. You have to change the outer part of your flesh, your character, your ways, your thinking. See, evil thoughts come in our mind. Ezekiel 38:9-11 says they come and thou shalt think an evil thought. And when you start thinking the evil thought, the imagination comes and the demons start tempting you in your mind. And then your flesh is feeding off that, because demons is the carcass of human flesh. It loves flesh. And when you're in the flesh, you open up doors to the enemy. It's God's grace that have all of us sitting in here listening to this word. It's his mercy and his grace, because I suppose have been gone. I'm still here. Mercy and grace. We need to thank the Lord for mercy and grace. Give you grace in your areas of weakness, in times of falling down. Get back up. The righteous will fall, yet he get back up. And this flesh is a struggle. And we're dealing with that struggle today. We talked about demons. Now we got to teach you how to modify the flesh. We want to show you in the Bible that you are going to have struggles in the flesh, and that your flesh is going to make you do things that you don't want to do. We're going to show that to you now. You need to see that now in the Bible. You need to see that straight out the Bible. We can't go no further until we get to this point. Now, this is going to be a long series on modifying the flesh. We're going to end up with fasting. These are areas in the Bible that the scripture says the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit lusts against the flesh. That's part of your character, your soul, old habits. You know, you smoke cigarettes for 35 years. Once you get deliverance, the traces of that spirit and the residue is still in you. You got to get that cleaned out by the word. You are clean through the word. You clean. John 15:3. You are clean. Clean. Cleanse yourself. You see. The word in you is filling the spirit. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that would proceed out of the mouth of God. So God know we all deal with sin. Lord, no, I got one that's like a thorn in the flesh. Paul had one. Now, don't come calling me, telling me what's your sin. It ain't your business. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. Having an admiration, lead a quiet life, and tend your own. But don't worry about me. You just worry about you. God got me. You deal with you. That's the problem with us. We can't change because we're trying to change other people. We're looking at other folks' problems, baby. When it boils down to you, your righteousness is nothing but that of filthy rags. That's going to everybody, including me. But this struggle is in the Bible, and we're going to look at it. First of all, you have to understand by faith that you are dead to sin. I said by faith, not that you're actually dead, because that takes growth. It takes time to be dead to die from habits. It's not easy. This takes time. I have never seen nobody zapped into this in one day. The next day they were changed. I have never saw that. So any zappings, please call me, because I've never saw it. We have to also know that because we're in a struggle, God still wants us to know that we can't just enjoy this certain thing. Now, in Romans 6:1, it says, What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How should we that are dead to sin live any longer then? Now, what you mean dead? See, we are dead through faith by the righteousness of Christ, that you can be accepted to say, Abba, Father, and to enter into the throne of God. That's by faith. The just shall live by faith. So it takes faith to accept the reconciliation, the justification, and the sanctification that Christ had put and gave us through dying at Golgotha, which is the way out. This is a process. You know not that so many of us was baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into the death. Therefore, we are bound with him by baptism into death, that likeness as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We should walk in newness. This is a new thing. And don't think that flesh wants to sit there and say, oh, I like that, because the flesh don't want to give in to the Spirit of God. It's constantly battled. Didn't the Bible say that the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit lusts against the flesh? These are contrary one to another. There's a battle within you. That's what the Bible says. So look at your own self and work out your own salvation, Romans 2:9, with trembling and with fear. For if we have been planted and gathered in the likeness of his death, we should be also in the likeness to his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man crucified with him. See, we crucified our old man with Christ by faith. Not saying that you have, but that's by faith to get into the transition of change. Therefore, you have grace to get these benefits, to inherit the righteousness of God by faith and accepting Jesus instead of sin. Jesus put away sin by the second Adam. Knowing this, that our old nature is crucified with him, that the body of sin might, he didn't say it will, that's where the problem is with all of us, where are you at, might be destroyed, might, that's based on you, might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is free from sin. That's through faith, through the blood of Jesus Christ. So when you crucify your flesh, you'll benefit from this. But Paul is telling us that we have a problem. It's within us. We have to renew. And renew takes time. First, you have to recognize your sin. Second, you got to want to be able to give that sin up. And a lot of pastors talk about sin. Sin is not a popular subject. But if I got on here and say, thou money cometh, Money cometh. You'll be in here ready to hear every word I say. Sin is not a popular conversation in the body of Christ. So Paul recognized that. Now, by faith, I want all of you to know that your life is hidden in Christ in Colossians 3:3. So when you commit a sin, you're coming out of the will of God that was hidden into the dry land of darkness. So each time all of us sin, we enter into the dry land of darkness. We repent, we come back in fellowship with Christ. If we confess our fault, he is just and able to forgive us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. I don't want to beat anybody over the head. I don't want nobody to feel that this is so hard that you can't do. I'm not going to do that, because it's hard out here. And people are going, I want to encourage you, crucify the flesh. I'm not trying to beat you down. Look, I got my problems. I can't worry about what people are doing. I got enough that's displeasing to the Lord, that's in my heart, and I don't like what's in me. So you need to be like that and deal with yourself. Amen? Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, died no more death, had no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But he that he liveth unto God. So Jesus has already died for sin. Now, when you committing sin, it is because your flesh is controlling your spirit, and your soul is more stronger than your spirit. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Go to Proverbs. In Proverbs 25:28, it says, he that have no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Your spirit is not stronger than your flesh. And it's a battle. It's a constantly battle. In chapter 6, Paul challenges the idea that believers may continue in sin and yet remain sincere in Christ. Because of the grace of God, Paul answered thus, attending distortions of the doctrine of grace by emphasizing one fundamental truth. True believers are identified as being in Christ by virtue of their being baptized into Christ and into his death, so that the old life of sin is buried. Moreover, a believer has been translated from sin realm into another realm, the realm of the life of Christ. Since the true believer have died to sin and therefore made a definite separation from the past life of sin, they will not continue to live in sin, and some people are not there yet. People are struggling, man. The devil is throwing everything out at everybody. The thief come to steal, kill, and destroy. And some people are just not there. Amen? That they will not continue to live in sin. People keep living in sin. They are not true believers. Throughout this chapter, Paul emphasized that the individuals cannot be a slave to sin and a slave to Christ at the same time. If they offend themselves in sin, and they should ask God for forgiveness and repent sincerely to the Lord. Sin is always at the door with us. Now, Paul had a beautiful statement about this struggle, and this is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. I remember when I was on crack cocaine, and I'm going to give a testimony of the flesh, because I was on crack cocaine, and somebody need to hear this. I'm not here to glorify my past. That was over 30 to 40 years ago. I don't do crack cocaine. I don't want it. I don't have no desire. But I was on cocaine and on crack cocaine. And I was fighting that thing. And I was addicted. I was an addicted crack addict. Every 2 weeks, crack addict. Then I started selling it. It became everyday crack addict. So anyway, I was in bondage to it. I had backslid from the Lord. Even when I backslid from the Lord, I kept reading Romans 7:14. Then I read the whole thing from 14 all the way to verse 25, which is a beautiful passage for me with the struggle of things that I've been through in my life. And I'm quite sure if I read this, look at your life. What you having struggles with. The thing that you're having struggles with, character prayer. Come out of agreement with it. Fast. Pray. Pray in tongues. It will change. You will change. If you desire to change, you will change. Sometimes change is hard. This is why God gives us grace. Sometimes we have strongholds to keep us down. Rooted stronghold. It could be ancestral stronghold sins. Ancestral curses of stronghold. It's so hard for you to overcome it. But God loves you. I'm not saying that for you to continue to sin. You will change. You just keep fighting, and the victory will come with anybody who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. His word cannot go out void. So let's look at this passage of struggle that all of us deal with. This is a good way to introduce the teachings of the flesh. Amen? So we're going to do that now. Let's go to Romans 7:14. It says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, soul under sin." This word carnal, carnality, fleshly. Now, Paul speaks of this also in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. He says, "For ye are yet carnal." So when you're having struggles in the flesh, you're not spiritual. You're carnal when you're acting like that. I have those problems. You have. I don't care. Look, let me. I ain't going to say what you got. I don't know what you got. Me. See, when you point a finger at somebody, look how many coming back at you. No, look at that. I'm pointing that finger at you. I got the thumb coming back at me and three of them at the bottom. So this is a struggle. And Paul tells us about the struggle. And Paul also tells us we are carnal. Now, it says, "For ye are yet carnal, for where there is among you envy," that's sinful, that's in the flesh, "envy, strife," that's not spiritual, "and divisions, are ye not carnal?" So carnality brings division, being envy, being strifeful, "and walk as men." Human men walk like that, carnality. Now, let's go to Romans 8:6. So I'm trying to show you what carnality is. That's the carnal flesh. You walk as carnal, as men. Unsaved people are carnal. When Christians are born again and they have accepted Yeshua as their Lord and Savior, they have a personal relationship with the Lord, but their flesh also have a personal relationship with the world. They haven't come out of that. They may have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but the behaviors and the characteristics of them is not fruitful to God's eyesight because they're carnal. There's a lot of carnal Christianity here. There's a lot of carnal churches that don't speak in tongues, don't have the Holy Spirit, don't do no deliverance ministry, teaching prosperity. That's carnality. That's carnal because it's teaching things of the flesh. Amen. So here in Romans 8:6 it says, "For to be carnally minded," to be carnally, C-A-R-N-A-L-L-Y, carnally minded is death. This is why God doesn't want us operating in the flesh. As we constantly being fleshly, we are carnal. We are in carnality. We are carnally minded is death. So you have a union with death, spiritual death, physical death, to be carnal. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Notice life and peace is with being spiritual, and carnality is being with envy and strife, the Bible says. That's amazing. That's amazing based on 1 Corinthians 3:3. Now we don't want to be carnal. We're trying to be led by the Spirit of God. We cannot be led by the Spirit of God operating in the flesh. When we're led by the Holy Spirit lives within the child of God in order to lead him or her to think, speak, and act according to God's word. He leads primarily by promptings that are inwardly urging to do God's will and to put to death the misdeeds of the body. The Holy Spirit will do that if you stay in the Word. It will assist you in defeating the flesh. Always in harmony with Scripture. The Holy Spirit is constantly in harmony with Scripture in dealing with areas of the flesh. Amen? God doesn't want us to be messed up as Christians. And a lot of Christians have not fully enjoyed what salvation is. I was talking to Pastor Rodriguez Baker, and I thank the Lord for him. The Lord used me 2 months ago to give him word of knowledge that he was going to have a boy. Well, him and his wife went, and he was just, thank you, Lord Jesus of Nazareth. He was so humble. And I see the humbleness in him and how he stood in there with the Lord. Persecuted. He was persecuted. He went through a lot. Family rejecting him. People mad at him for who he voted for. The brother just went through a lot. He stood on the principles of God's word, and God gave him the desire of his heart. God can give you the desire of your heart. He can bless you. And the Lord said to me, the flesh is messing some of you up. It messes me up. It messes us up from our blessings. See, when we walk in the flesh, we walk in the stages and the areas of darkness. There's no light in the darkness of the flesh. Amen? So please pay close attention to what we're going to be saying through these teachings. Now, everybody deals with this struggle in the flesh with sin. Let's look at Paul's struggle here, and now look at yours as we read the Bible. And I want the Bible to come to light to you. I want it to come to your fruition that you can see, oh, this is relating to me, where you can really be part of the interchange between you and your Lord and the Word of God. Because the Word of God bears witness in heaven. It bears witness in heaven. And when this thing bears witness in heaven and you get it in you, I guarantee you, you will crucify the flesh. Some of you are struggling. God loves you. God loves all of you. I have a heart for people who was on crack and drugs because I've been there. And it takes a lot of grace, but you can change. Amen? For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one, 1 John 5:7. And when you get these three as one in you and read and build up your spirit, fast, you have to break down the flesh because it's a strong man in us. We was born in sin. We didn't know nothing about righteousness. Some of you probably never heard the deliverance. I was a Catholic. I saw exorcism, but I ain't know nothing about the spirit field and speaking in tongues. I heard it in the Catholic Church. As a matter of fact, I got tongues at a monastery. My God, with a brother that went to college and became a priest, and I knew him. He was in the deliverance ministry, and he became a Roman Catholic priest. And we was good friends. And then he became a priest in the diocese of where I was from, Mobile, and I met him, and he prayed over me, and the Lord was moving on him with gifts. But anyway, he got into the ministry, and he had problems in his flesh. God dealt with him. He changed, and he's moving on. He's a priest. He's serving. We all are going to have setbacks in this flesh. I'm not going to tell you that you're not, because to change your ways takes to change directions of the patterns that you've been familiar with walking with all the time. The devil knows that, and God knows that, and he will grant you grace. Don't ever get up. If you fall, get back up. The righteous shall fall 7 times and get back up. I want to encourage people. Don't quit. Amen? All right. Let's go to Romans 7:14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. That's me. That's all of us. So Paul is saying the things I'm doing, some things I do, I don't like to do them, but I'm doing them. That's the flesh. Then it says, if then I do that which I would not, I consider unto the law that it is good. Now, then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So it's sin in us that's making us do these things. And the demons are feeding off the sin. Don't forget, sin lied at the door, Genesis 4:7. It lies waiting on it. It's waiting. Don't let it come to you. Amen? For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, watch this, dwelleth no good thing. That's in any of us, all of us. In our flesh dwells nothing good. Nothing. So, remember, if you're in the flesh and you're having some struggles, there's nothing good in there. You don't need to keep it. We need to get rid of it. There's nothing good. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. That's the struggle of sin in us. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. See? We go doing the thing we don't want to go do. Lord, forgive me. I don't know why I did it. We go still go back. Some of us struggle with habitual sins. It's the same sin over and over. You're struggling. You don't like it. It's miserable. I was like that on crack cocaine. I got another beast I'm dealing with. It's a beast, but I'm going to deal with this. It was hard for me to get off crack cocaine. I scuffled with that thing for 14, no, about 7, 8, 9, 10 years. And I kept praying. And it was just the grace of God. It was the grace of God and me crying out to the Lord. And I was in a shower one night. I said, Lord, I'm really tired. I was selling drugs and doing stupid stuff, being used by the devil. And I said, Lord, I'm tired of living like this. I'm tired of being like this. When you are tired of a sin, you get rid of it. You just get tired. You get tired of it. Some sins are very pleasurable, where we get into and we use these things for escape, and then we recognize that, hey, look, we're sinful. Lord, it's wrong. You know, and we get caught up in that. And then we go commit this thing, this act, and now it's putting us from God. Repent very quickly. God loved the King David because he repented quickly. And get back up. Don't wallow in it. Don't wallow in it. Romans 7:20. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it. Watch this. But sin that dwelleth in me. Turn to Romans 8:27. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. Pray in tongues if you got a problem in an area in your life. Let the Holy Spirit make intercessions for you. That'll increase grace. That will increase grace. Pray in the Holy Spirit, Lord, forgive me. And just keep calling on the Lord. Keep talking to him. It will come. When I got free from crack cocaine, I knew it was a divine. Sometimes it takes a divine intervention for some people to change. It took a divine one for me. And Father, I pray now that those who are having problems in areas of their life, in the name of Jesus, that you have a divine intervention right now. We ask that the blood of Jesus go right now and comfort these people who are struggling with certain sins that's making them pull away from you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So we know this sin that's dealing with us. In Romans 7:21, I find in a law that when I would do good, look at this, evil is present with me. Now watch this. That can show you it ain't nothing but demonic. Anytime you do good, here come the devil. That was in Job. Here comes Satan coming up ascending into heaven with God. God stopped that when Jesus Christ died. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I think God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. With the flesh, the law of sin. Well, let's look at some of these scriptures about fleshly sins. Turn to the book of Colossians. The true center of Christian life, when we get to where we are recognizing certain sins in our lives and we're working on making a transformation and changing by the grace of God and his mercy. In Colossians 3:1 it says, if ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Mark 16:19. Put your afflictions, Ephesians chapter 4:7-8, 1 John 1:8, and Psalms 5:1. Set your afflictions. Do we do that? Set your afflictions on things above. Do we do that? No, we don't. If we don't set our afflictions on things above, we're going to get back into the flesh. This is why I don't like, I call them prosperity ministers, pagan prosperity Christian teachings. Thou money cometh. Money. Seek those things which are above. There ain't no financial dollar bill in heaven. Above, beyond money. God set it on the right hand of God, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. 1 John 2:15. You know why? Not on things on the earth? Because if you start getting caught up in things on the earth, you're going to get worldly, and lust is going to enter into you through your eyes. This is why he says things above. If you see 1 John 2:15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. Now, this is what we're trying to conquer. So if we're in the world, we like the world, we're not going to transform ourselves. And there's a lot of Christians like the world. You know, there's worldly churches that call themselves Christian. There are Baptist churches that have Halloween and Easter bunny rabbits and Christmas, all these pagan holidays in Christianity. That's of the world. It's okay to tell your child about a Christmas. Is it a sin? The Bible says it's a Christmas tree, but, you know, what you going to tell a five-year-old kid? Hey, you know, Jesus Christ is not Santa Claus, the Son of God. This is just entertainment. But teach your child the true things of Christ so they can still enjoy Christmas and know the truth about it. But it's worldly. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away. And the lust. Now, I thought we were supposed to be fighting against the lust. The flesh lusted against the spirit. So the lust is in the spirit. It's a spirit. Look at this. The lust, therefore. The lust. So the world has lust. And if we're trying to transform ourselves, we shouldn't like lust, which is the world. And this is why some Christians can't change, because they are very connected to the world. For the world passeth away, and the lust therefore. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, in Colossians, go back to Colossians 3:2, it says, set your afflictions on things above. Why? It's according to 1 John 2:15, because of the losses in the world. That's why God don't want you to get caught up in that, and you won't have the flesh being tempted more as what it is today. Pornography is very heavy on the internet. Sexual sins are the most difficult sins for Christians and people to get over, because of feelings with it. It brings relaxation. It brings relief, but stress, but it brings sin and demons if it's done out of the will of God. Alcohol. Oh, man, it's all kind of things that people are dealing with. I can't name all of them. Gluttony, lying. I'd be here all day. It's the world. It's connected with the world. So we don't need to feed ourselves worldly things and stay away from that, so you have the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:5 and 1 Corinthians 2:16. For you are dead and your life is hidden in him. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. That's in faith. Now, he's not telling us to cast out. He's telling us to put off this. This is something that we have to put off. He didn't say cast it out. He said put off this. Let's look. Mortify. Look up the word mortify. That's what you need to do. Look up the word mortify tonight. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication. Now, I'm going to break down Galatians 5:19 all of the names, fornication, what it is, and give you the definitions when we come back in this thing Tuesday. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinateness, affliction, feelings for something that's abnormal. A lot of people have that, you know, afflictions for animals, love for them, overlove of anything that's non-human. It could be demonic. Be careful. Evil concupiscences and covetousness, which is idolatry. You have to put that off. If you don't put it off, you will open up the door to the demonic spirit of idolatry. For which these sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Now, the children of disobedience, also in Ephesians 2:2, is a spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience, Paul says in Ephesians. In that which ye also walked sometimes, when ye lived in them, and there are some of us are not living this way, as Paul did, that we struggle and prevents us to get the blessings of Christ. God wants you to get the blessings of Christ. Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Please pick up Mabel Overton.
Doesn't live here. I'm on live air. I'm working radio. Thank you. Okay. God wants you to get the blessings of Christ. In the which ye also walked sometimes when ye lived in them. See, it says walk sometimes. Sometimes you walk in the flesh. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you have a good day. It's a struggle. But now ye also put off all these. Put off. It did not say cast out. It says put off. But now ye also put off all these. Anger. So you can have a demon, a spirit of anger. You get it cast out. Your soul, your personality can be angry. You have to crucify that imprint of the demonic spirit. And the flesh sucks up imprints. I'm seeing that in this ministry. But now ye also put off these. Anger. It didn't say cast out. Wrath. Malice. Blasphemy. Filthy communications out of your mouth. We all struggle with that. I was in the military. And when I went into the United States Navy, I came back. Oh, my God. I was cussing everything. It was just a cuss word. The military, men, a lot of people in the military cuss a lot. A lot of cussing, a lot of alcohol, a lot of alcohol drinking in the military. And I had it bad. My father would cuss. Boy, I'm talking about he had a cussing spirit. And I inherited that thing. And some of us are dealing with that just today. Filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. Knowledge, Hosea 4:6. Knowledge, Isaiah 5:13. Knowledge, Hosea 4:6. Knowledge, Isaiah 5:13. After the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Syrian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, this is where you have to make the transfer of change to your personality, your character. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humility, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. Now, I know about long-suffering. I can write a book on long-suffering. I've been suffering long-suffering for 15 years. I understand long-suffering. And that's a good for long-suffering to bring your patience. Because you're so used to suffering that I go through so much attack, it takes me 4 hours sometimes. When I get through doing an exorcism, trying to call the bank, the lines get disconnected. It took me 4 hours a day to try to get my ID from the VA, just constant attack, attack, attack. So I'm familiar with long-suffering. Most of you don't. But in order to develop as a Christian, suffering will really humble you. I don't like to suffer. Now, I'm not promoting. I ain't praying that on you, you know, but it's part of the Christian process. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Let the peace of God rule in your heart or hearts, to that which also are ye called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, and in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, do it by word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. That's putting off. Now, Romans 6:12 says, let no sin therefore reign in you, mortify your body, that you should obey the lust of it. God don't want you to obey the lust of it. You have to mortify, change. You have to make a change. That is not easy. Ask God to give you grace. Repent. Search your heart. Ask the Lord to really, Lord, show me my heart. Because death and life in the power of tongue. And if the heart is in the wrong position, you got an evil heart, ask God, you got to get that changed. Because that in your heart is just causing your flesh to feed off of it. And you got to come out of agreement with it. Also in Romans 6:12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it. The lust, L-U-S-T-S, the lust therefore. What is lust? Intense or unrestrained sexual craving, an overwhelming desire or craving, lust for power, intense energies and enthusiasm for lust of life, pleasure. And see, this stuff gets us caught up. Now, the Bible also says that we have to die, a dying to ourselves. We have to die. And if you're not willing to die, you got to die to liking something. You have to die to it. You don't want it. Now, the Bible, I'm going to give you some scriptures. We must crucify. Now, we are crucified with Christ in spirit, according to Galatians 2:20. The flesh and the spirit is a battleground for demons. We have to mortify. The spiritual conflict between believers involves that the whole person, the struggle, is whether they will surrender to the sinful nature, inclinations of the flesh, and to submit to sin's control, or whether they will yield to the spirit demands and continue under Christ's dominion. Satan is always trying to move you out from Christ's dominion with sin. He is trying to continue to bring you a specific sin to keep you down and to keep you attacking to you. Then he'll leave you alone. Then he'll come back. And then he'll let you go. And he'll come back. And then he'll try to find out what you like and try to attack you with. And then he'll give you the pleasures of what you like to keep you away from things in your heart that you don't want to give up to the Lord. Excuse me. And then it'll make become a double heart, Psalms 12:2, a double-minded man, James 1:8, wavering, James 1:6, double-minded, James 4:7, also 4:8. God doesn't want us to be double-minded like that, because that throws us backwards and forward in the kingdom, out the kingdom, in the kingdom, out the kingdom, serving God. You become hot and cold. Revelation 3:15, it says he'll spit you out. God doesn't want that. But the devil will feed you things and constantly bring this to your weakness to exploit you. The spiritual conflict with believers involves the person that struggles is whether they will surrender to the sinful natures and inclinations of the flesh, or submit to the Holy Spirit, or submit to sin's control. Ask the Holy Spirit, I want to submit to the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, I want to show you something in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 25. Hebrews 11:25. Choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. It's just a season. To enjoy the pleasures of sin. So sin has pleasures, and you can enjoy it. In the flesh, you can. but in the spirit you can't. Now, go to Psalms 84:10. Psalms 84:10. For a day in the courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. See, when the devil presents something to us, he doesn't tell that to us. He's going to entice you with that thing that's going to pull you away from the Lord. You may be on a fast trying to crucify your flesh, and all of a sudden you smell the most beautiful bread, cup, and cake cookies, something that you like, chocolate chip cookies, fried chicken, whatever. And he's going to intensify. You remember the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, 1 John 2, 15, 16, eyes, nose, ears, seeing. The devil used all those senses to tempt you when you go on a fast. What he's trying to do? He's trying to lure you into sin to stop you from getting what God has for you. Sometimes when we sin, it becomes selfish. And when we sin, it is selfish. We sin, we know it's wrong, and we still do it. We have an evil heart. We have to change that. Now, I want you to turn to Galatians 2:20 before I close. And I want you to meditate on this until Tuesday. In Galatians 2:20, the Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Because Paul knew that he's going to make mistakes. This is why we need to understand grace when we're making adjustments for change as a Christian. No one ever taught us this. We just got saved and that's it. It don't work that way. Amen. In faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Read this again. I am crucified, you. So when we commit a sin, that's not really us. That's sin in us making us do something that we really don't want to do. For what I... Okay. That was it. And I did this recording this morning because I was doing an exorcism today. But this was the teaching that we have today. And tomorrow we won't be in the room. Chaplain John Durden, comments, please.
Yeah, this is one I kind of like dealt with a lot when I was much younger. You know, when the Word of God described it, there's two types of people, and you, those who live by their sinful nature, the carnal man, and those who live according to the Spirit. That I like what you taught, because to make a long story short, your excerpt gave what could happen when you let your desires and of your flesh can cause you to go to hell, really, and live a life that's unbecoming. Where if we are led by the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit will lead us into the things of God according to the words of God. Because if we decide that we don't want to live by the Spirit of God and let the Holy Spirit lead us, then we have a bad habit of following our mindset. Our mind want to do everything that is contrary to the Word of God. And so when a thought comes into our mind, we must decipher who's talking. Is it our mind or is it the Holy Spirit? And we can always stay on the right track. But, yeah, in conclusion, it gave all the derogatory stuff that can happen if you mess around and keep letting the flesh lead you, as opposed to the Holy Spirit that can lead you into life and eternal dwelling with the Lord Jesus.
Amen. We want to thank everybody. Thank Sister Maureen for the prayers. I'm about to get ready and get some rest. We're going to see everybody Tuesday. I have an exorcism to do right now. I won't be able to have any praise and worship due to the fact that I have to get on as soon as I get off to start this exorcism. God bless everyone, and have a good evening. Okay, let's get lined up. Get Sister Nobody. Tell her to come pick me up. Where is she at? She's there? All right. Hey, Sister Nobody, I'll be there. They're coming right now to pick me up. Are those pastors in there? Are those pastors in there?
And now God took it and turned everything to a world by doing that. He told him, and she's a snapper. Every time